Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Welcome back to the show. It's been a weird day. I think the wind messes with all of us, doesn't it? If it doesn't make you, like, really irritated, it breaks everything. And then you get irritated. So even if it's not personally you, it's something surrounding you that's getting blown over. I had to text my wife because it's trash day, Jades. Very important day for a dad and a husband. Every week, I think the same thing. I'm not going to make it to next week's trash day. This is too full. Those are the things that stress me out now. I walk around the house, I get home, and the trash can in the house is full, and I go, oh no. Take it out, and then I'm stuffing and slamming stuff down into the big trash can. But that's like a real worry now. How am I? Like, I stay up at night. Oh my gosh, it's Friday. I have Saturday, Sunday, Monday to get through. Anyway, so I get the trash out. It's clear full, and the wind's coming up, so I just text my wife. Like, seriously, it's weird that I pay this much attention to my trash, but it's all I can picture is my trash can falling over and all of our trash, which nobody wants their trash, out for the world to see, whether you're a serial murderer or not. You don't want people to see that stuff. So I'm like, I text my wife. Did you, what's the status on the trash can? What's the sitch on the trash can? And she just said, I pulled it back inside. What? Then how are we going to get, you know how it is. We'll see how it goes. She'll probably run out there when she sees the trash truck, I hope. Hope she doesn't get blown away in the process. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Okay, this is dumb. MLB to allow pitchers and catchers to use anti-sign-stealing technology during the regular season. You mean we don't get to see the catcher, you know, dangling his fingers in front of his crotchal region for all the world to see? We're not going to get to see that anymore? ESPN posted out this morning, pitchers and catchers will have the option. They don't have to. Of using newly tested signaling devices as they decide what pitches to throw in the upcoming regular season. Industry sources told ESPN. This technology could help to advance Major League Baseball beyond the risk of sign-stealing scandals that have plagued the sports in the past decade. Sources tell ESPN that MLB, Major League Baseball, sent a memo Tuesday advising teams about the approved usage of devices referred to within the industry as PitchCom. It's a new robot, for those of you wondering. Using a pad with buttons on the wrist of the gloved hand, a catcher can signal pitches, pitch type, and location directly to the pitcher through a listening device. Okay, Jade, you have one of those watches where you go beep, boop, bop, bop, beep. That's what catchers are going to be doing now. They're going to be like, hold, and then the pitcher's going to be like, what was it again? What? What? Oh, okay. Yeah. And now apparently two other players are going to have it, like the shortstop and somebody else. So then we're going to send the satellite triangulation signal out throughout the field. Okay, now we got, we're going to have a robot ump at some point, too. So instead of strikes and balls and fouls, we'll hear this. Oh, come on. I think it's always good to edit the games. I do, but I'm just picturing the catcher in between pitches. Like, hold. You ever see The Office with Ryan when he's got the BlackBerry, when he takes over as the boss for a while? He's got the BlackBerry, and he's in the office, and everybody's looking at him, waiting. They're like, "Hey, Ryan, how are you?" He puts his hand up, like, "Stop," and he's texting. And then he looks up and goes, "How's my favorite branch?" I feel like that's going to be the catcher now. It's going to be like, "Hold on." So that's supposed to save time? What if you can't figure it out? Like, the catcher, does he have, tell me this, Jaden, does he have to type something in to this little wrist rocket thing that he has on his glove?
So as far as I'm aware, I believe that there's a sequence for like a certain pitch that they type in, and it sends like a certain vibration pattern to the pitcher.
But he has to type it in though, right? The catcher?
Yeah, he just kind of dials it up.
Has gloves on though, right? They have, I mean, obviously you have your catcher's glove, but don't they have another glove on?
Not usually.
No, usually they don't.
No, none of them.
So they'd use that, and it'd be on the gloved hand, and then to go beep-a-bop-bop.
Mm-hmm.
What if it doesn't work? You got to go back
to your
old school ways.
That's the problem. I mean, if they don't have a contingency plan because technology loves to fail us, then they're kind of, I mean.
Do you think everybody's going to opt into this, or will more people just be like, nah, this is.
I don't know. I know that there's a couple teams that have been testing it out in spring training. I know that I believe it was the Royals that were trying it, actually. But I know that there's been a couple teams that have been trying it out and testing it during spring training. But I feel like if you're not going to, those teams that aren't testing it during spring training, I think it's silly if they just start incorporating it first thing into the season. Like, it's something I feel like you got to get used to.
It seems strange to me, and I know we're messing around with it, but maybe it'll work out. But I'm not a traditionalist. I'm all about editing your game. But isn't some of this stuff, like, baseball's a completely different sport than anything else. Like, the managers wear, like, it's not a coach, it's a manager. And they wear the same uniform as their players. They go out onto the field. They yell at the umps. They get in each other's faces. They they chew in tobacco while they're playing. It's a completely different world. And isn't part of that stealing? And again, I'm not going to Houston side here. But isn't part of it stealing and then trying to cover up your signs? And isn't that part of the game?
In my opinion, as long as you don't have a third party that's specifically
there.
Which
is what Houston had, right?
Right.
It was a third party that was helping them get everything because they had a video guy.
Right. But that's part of the game. I mean, you, as a second base, like if you're a runner on second base, you're going to be looking in to try and tip your batter. Like, that's just part of the game.
It's nothing different from football on that side. Like, they're trying to figure out defensive and offensive play calls and predict. And obviously, it's not as scandalous as baseball. But some of this stuff is part of the unwritten rule. Now, there are things that I think are part of baseball that are absolutely ridiculous. Like, checking a guy at first drives me nuts. I mean, what's the percentage of actually getting him? And I don't like how, we have to have the batter step out of the box, wait a second, then we got to redo our gloves and everything and our hat 45 times. I don't like that, but I also understand that that's like part of the game. I'm just getting torn with all these new technological advances.
Well, there was a, when you were talking about the batters readjusting, that kind of reminds me, there was a player in college ball who had gotten, he got called out because he had taken too long. There's like a 20-second pitch count clock, I believe, in college.
And I don't hate it. I don't hate that. But
part of me is like, yes, it's nice to have a game that's sped up because I read a stat. It's like 8 or 13 or 18, some like ridiculously low number. But we'll say 18 minutes of the game is actual action. And then 2 hours and some odd minutes is just.
I think that's true for like football too. I mean, I don't know the exact stat, but football definitely has that. Texter here. What if the pitcher shakes off the catcher? How does that work? Yeah, then you type in something new. Put in a different code. All right, 14 minutes after the hour. We're talking to Katie Wingy of Altitude TV coming up next. Is Jamal Murray going to play in the playoffs? Snip, snap, snip, snap. It's heating up again. We might get the Blue Arrow back in time for the playoffs. Or is it just more rumors that really don't have anything behind it? We'll talk to Katie about that next. You don't want to miss this interview. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, live from Allo Communication Studios.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. The NBA playoffs are right around the corner. The Nuggets doing everything they possibly can to just go ahead and lock up at least that sixth or fifth spot. Joining us now to talk about those Denver Nuggets, Katie Wingy of Altitude TV. Katie, first off, thanks so much for being on with us. I know you're always busy, so we appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. No problem at all.
Okay, I have to ask, is Jamal Murray coming back? Are we going to see Jamal Murray in the playoffs? Katie, it's been a whirlwind of emotions for all of us.
Y'all are so funny. I know that there's so much hope out there, and I'm going to be the first one to tell you to keep that hope alive. And look, they haven't ruled him out. They haven't shut him down. But what you're seeing is truthfully just the next progression in his ACL rehab. Like, this is where he would be regardless of if he was going to play or not. So it's still a question. It's still, hey, he could potentially come back. He's listed as out tonight against the Spurs. And the other thing, too, that I think people should probably know is that he's not just going to randomly show up on an injury report as questionable. Like, he's been out for so long and isn't going to just randomly be like, okay, he's available to play tonight. The media needs to be able to talk to him first. He should be made available. At least that's how it's been in the past when there's been a player with a very serious injury that's been out for a long time, typically right before they make their comeback. The reason that the media kind of knows is because PR says, hey, we're going to make Jamal available today. And that has not happened yet. There has not been any signs that that would happen. So I would say stay hopeful. Of course, we would love to see him back. But again, the Nuggets have been so firm in their stance that there is zero rush. There is zero pressure for either Murray or Michael Porter Jr. And I love that approach. I really do. Because you might be seeing these clips of Murray looking like himself. I think a lot of people have seen those for the past couple months. But what you see isn't the full picture. What's going on in his head is something that none of us know. The only person that knows that answer is Jamal Murray. We heard Nikola Jokic say after a couple games ago, look, I told him not to come back. I think it would be stupid for him to come back unless he's feeling, 120% healthy and ready to go. So I think everybody's just kind of putting this in Jamal Murray's hands and saying, look, wherever you're at is okay. You let us know where your head and where your body's at.
So you're saying keep hope alive, but don't get your hope up too high. So we got to find that happy medium, right?
I would say, look, what we're aiming for is a healthy Jamal Murray for the entire next season.
Right,
would it
right.
be great to have him back? Yes. But think about the Nuggets full strength with both Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. alongside Nikola Jokic playing the way that he's been playing this season for the next couple years. And that's what we want. We want longevity. We want stability, sustainability, all of those things. And the worst case scenario is you bring him back too soon and he hurts himself again or something happens and it sets him back even further.
Katie, so, we kind of talked about this, like, if he's not going to be able to give it, like, and same probably for Michael Porter Jr., if they're not going to be able to give it the, 10 regular season games, 5 regular season games, then we probably should count him out in the playoffs, but all that being said, let's say the Nuggets make a deep run. They find a way to get past that first round. They get deep into the second. Is that still a possibility? Or do you think that if he doesn't get a a shot in this last week or so, and then maybe a game in the first round, we should start thinking, okay, this is about next year for both Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr.?
I think that way, yes. But I also know that particularly Jamal Murray is just the highest competitor of the competitors, right? But I don't think it's a great situation to put either of those two into the playoffs when the basketball is the most physical, the highest pressure, and ask for them for those to be their first games back. I think that that's an unfair situation to put those players in. So I'm thinking that way. I'm thinking, hey, if you don't get them in these last three games, now these last two games, why put them in a playoff scenario? Because here's the reality of it, too. When Jamal Murray is ready to come back, and I'm going to talk just about Jamal here, and if he were to come back during the playoffs, I think majority of people that don't know what an ACL injury is like, that don't know what it's coming back from a long-term injury, what that's like, they're going to think you're going to get bubble Jamal. And that is just so unrealistic and so unfair to put that kind of pressure and those standards on a player that's coming back from an injury like that. So I don't think the Nuggets even want to put him in that position, and I think that that's the right approach to take. If he's not ready to go now, he's not likely going to be ready to go in the next couple weeks, and he's not going to be ready for a playoff-type environment and a playoff-type style of basketball.
We're talking to Katie Wingy of Altitude TV. Yeah, it's been a bummer. I know some of our hopes were crazy 2 months ago, and then it just kind of felt like the hope was deteriorating with every week. But nonetheless, the Nuggets are in this playoff hunt, or playoff picture, rather. They're sitting in fifth place right now. Katie, I don't have it right in front of me, but it looks like probably Dallas, if they stay in the fifth place spot. What do you see as the ideal matchup in the first round for the Nuggets?
I like Dallas. Yeah. I think that Dallas is probably my ideal matchup. Although Utah hasn't been playing great, without Jamal Murray against, Donovan Mitchell, I think that I would rather play Dallas in that scenario. However, Dallas has been much better since they've made the trade that they made. I think that they're a little bit more well-rounded than they used to be. But I still I like that matchup. I think that the Nuggets have done a pretty good job against them. I think that, the Nuggets could steal one from them. I think that in a seven-game series, I would bet on Denver in that situation. So for me, the ideal matchup is Dallas. So I think the Nuggets probably like where they're sitting right now. And I think they're taking the approach of, let's control our own destiny. And Nikola Jokic said after that Laker game, on ABC, they're trying to win all three of these games. It's not like they're trying to position themselves based on what other teams are doing. They're absolutely looking to control their own destiny, and by doing that, they want to win every game they have left.
Yeah, put them in the right spot with some momentum going down the stretch here, getting into those playoffs. I mean, what do you see for this team? Obviously, we've talked about it, and we just talked about Jamal, MPJ, those guys not being a part of this team. I mean, MPJ for, 90% of the year. What's the ceiling for this team? I mean, could they? I mean, you look at some of these. Utah, I felt like they were world beaters at the beginning of the season. Things have certainly changed. Changed for them. Golden State without Steph Curry, that's an interesting matchup. What is it crazy to think the Nuggets could go very deep in these playoffs?
I don't think it's crazy because of Nikola Jokic. I think that Nikola Jokic is so unstoppable that he could take his game to yet another level that we haven't seen and could just carry this Nuggets team farther than anyone thinks that they could go. But with that being said, realistically, I think getting past the first round and getting to the second round would be a win for the Denver Nuggets team. I really do. And that's kind of the expectation that I'm going in with of okay, you're without, two of your three best players. What you've done this season in general is just remarkable. I think the Nuggets, the over-under on total games won was 47.5 coming into this season, and you're looking at a season where potentially you could once again win 50 games. And they made that line when Michael Porter Jr. was supposed to be healthy all season long. So the fact that they're still in a place where, from the outside looking in, people thought they would be with Michael Porter Jr. playing the whole season, it's crazy. It's outstanding. The coaching job that Michael Malone has done, the way that Nikola Jokic has carried this team. And I know that Nuggets fans are probably a little bit disappointed with what are we cheering for then in the playoffs if we know we can't win a championship? But think about the experience that Bones Highland is going to get, being in the playoffs and getting to feel that, and how much that will help all of these players getting another year of playoff experience under their belts. So once they do have a full roster, they are ready. They know what to expect. They have that experience under their belt so they can take it to the next level in seasons to come.
We're talking to Katie Wingy of Altitude TV. Boy, you talk about Joker taking it to an even another level. Like, that gives me chills, Katie, just thinking about what that would look like. He's already, it feels like every single year he's just gotten much better. Last year was his MVP year. This year he's better than that, and he's going to get it again more than likely. So it's just been unreal to see what this guy has done, especially when some of his key pieces are gone with Murray and MPJ. I mean, so many changes on this roster, but you're right. Giving that credit to Michael Malone as well, what he's done as a head coach with this team, especially this year, he should be considered for Coach of the Year.
Considered, yes. There's been so many great teams that have surpassed expectations and coaches that have stepped up, but I think he's worthy of being in that conversation. Absolutely. And then you look at, you know, Nikola Jokic and what he's been able to do. I think that's a huge part of why he's probably going to be a back-to-back MVP. And what has impressed me most, and I talk about kind of taking his game to a whole nother level, which it sounds ridiculous when you think about how well he's been playing, but he's done such a good job of recognizing, okay, I need to be a scorer right now for my team, or my teammates are hot, I need to be a facilitator, or I need to get rebounds, I need to defend. I think his defense is so improved this season for Denver, and Coach Malone, again, putting him in spots defensively where he can be successful. So the next level that I'm referring to, Jokic, playoff Jokic, Jokic takeover Jokic, we've seen a lot of glimpses of so far this season, particularly in the clutch. Like when he just takes over games, when he just is unstoppable, they can send a double team, a triple team, and he still finds ways to score. I mean, that elevated focus, that elevated relentlessness, that's what I'm expecting to see with playoff Joker. I know that he's tired. I know that he's had to carry such a heavy load this season, but he's going to do whatever he can to help his team win. And he now knows what playoff basketball is like in a variety of different ways, whether it's bubble, whether it's not. And so I think that, I mean, he's done so much for this Nuggets team already. The Nuggets will go kind of as far as he can go. As far as the teammates around him can step up, how far they can go as well.
Yeah, no question about it. Katie Wingy of Altitude TV. Looking at the landscape of the rest of this Western Conference, Katie, we know how good Phoenix is. How good are the Memphis Grizzlies? Like, how far do you think they can go? And what potentially, you know, Ja Morant, obviously, he is just, speaking of elevating to another level, he's done that this season. How good is this Grizzlies team?
Really good and really fun. The one thing that I think is probably going to be their Achilles heel in the playoffs is the 7-game series and how young they are and how inexperienced they are in that type of environment. I think, you know, it's going to be more challenging than what they have put on the floor during the regular season. Like, it's easy to look at their record. It's easy to look at where they're standing in the Western Conference and say, wow, this Memphis team has done so much more than anyone thought they would. They have such great pieces, such great role players, so much talent, but what are they going to do in a playoff scenario, right? Like, we haven't seen them really in a playoff situation for a while. And so with that in mind, that's going to be the challenge. Can they rise to that occasion? Can they take their game to the next level? And I think that they're probably a team that a lot of the higher seeds are looking at being like, I think that we could be the one to knock them out. They would rather play them than a Phoenix. They would rather play them potentially than a Golden State with a healthy Steph Curry that's supposed to be back in time for playoffs. So the question mark is their experience going to be what hurts them? But I'm really excited to see what they can do. Ja's been out for a while, so getting him back will obviously lift that Grizzlies team to a whole other level. I know they're playing like they have a chip on their shoulders, which they do, and we know in Denver better than anybody the power of that.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, I'm excited for the playoffs, and like you said, who knows? Maybe the Nuggets can do something crazy once we get in here, get settled in, and Joker can take us to another level. And I'm with you. That would be something else. Katie, always appreciate your insight. Love what you guys do. Huge Altitude fan, and we'll be watching tonight. What time do you guys get rocking and rolling tonight?
6:30 pregame. 7:00 tip.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to it. Appreciate you, Katie.
Awesome. Thanks, Brady. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Katie Wingy of Altitude TV. Great to talk to her. And Memphis is good. Yeah, they're really good. And watch out for Ja Morant. He's going to do crazy things. It's those two teams to me. It's Phoenix and Memphis. I think Denver can get past anybody else, but the second round, they get past the first round. I do think they can. They go to the second round, and it's going to be what? It's going to be against one of those teams, Phoenix or Memphis. How do you beat the Grizzlies? How do you beat Phoenix? Phoenix is just, I mean, they cannot. I tell you, Booker puts up the numbers, but Chris Paul puts up the daggers against the Nuggets. The Nuggets will be making a comeback. They're making it close. And then Chris Paul just hits that little, what is that little shot right outside of the paint, you know, horizontal of the rim, pop. Nobody can stop it. You just can't stop it. Paul plays so well against, I mean, he plays well against anybody, everybody, but great against the Nuggets, too. 34 minutes after the hour. What does Nick Wright have to say about our boy Nikola Jokic and the metrics and the robots and all of that about the Joker and why he should or shouldn't be the MVP? We're going to talk about his thoughts coming up next, and I'll tell you why they are wrong, as always. No surprise. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
As a voter, I'm surprised you don't know this. It's not about big plays. It's not about winning. It's about who the robots tell us to vote for. And Wilds, I'm going to unite you with me on this because of your fear of sentient robots, yeah, which robots. Are just smart computers. And Brew said something, has said something to me a couple times off the air that I didn't know about. This was before, you know, when I was in, like, honestly, like grade school. About that back in the early 90s, IBM used to give out their MVP.
Oh, yeah.
And, Brew, who won it every single year? You told me it was David Robinson. And the reason was because whatever formula they had really overvalued rebounding and efficiency. And efficiency is super important, but the algorithm was a little off. So it's super overvalued those two things where he was great. And David Robinson's an all-time great player, but every year they had him as the best player in the league. Well, that exact same thing is happening right now with the smart people numbers with Nikola Jokic. So I'm gonna tell you what we're going to do here. I'm going to give you five advanced stat categories that Jokic leads the NBA in. And they all seem like, because very close is Giannis and Embiid and Lucas. So you're like, oh, they're good stats. But then you see the fly in the ointment. So here is win shares. We can show it to you right now. Win shares. And a player, Mitchell Robinson. Win shares. Those sound important. Well, they say Mitchell Robinson's better than LeBron, Steph, and Luka. Maybe they're slightly overvaluing rebounding and field goal percentage. Can we have another advanced stat category that Nikola Jokic is leading the entire way? Offensive box score plus minus. Well, who would you rather have on offense? Kevin Love or Devin Booker, DeMar DeRozan, Chris Paul? I don't know. The computers tell me Kevin Love. All right, what about on the other side of the ball? Defensive box score plus minus, where the computers tell me Jokic is the best defender in basketball. Would you rather have Okiki from Wild's beloved Magic or Jason Tatum, DeAndre Ayton, or Kevin Durant? I don't know. The computers say the Magic are as frisky as Wild say. What about VORP, value over replacement player? Jokic is number one. Would you rather have Fred VanVleet this year, who's been good, or Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, or again, DeMar DeRozan? And then a stat I've always liked, PER. However, again, it's overvaluing rebounding. Would you rather have Montrezl Harrell this year? Montrezl Harrell! Or Jason Tatum, Steph Curry, or Devin Booker? So that is Jokic's entire case, and he's going to win it. His entire case, Wilds, is the computers tell me I'm an idiot if I don't vote for him. And I'm sitting here saying, okay, that's fine. Is it possible your beloved computers are flawed? That it's not Deep Blue playing Kasparov, that maybe your algorithms, which were made by humans, not computers, overvalued certain things? Because at the top of those metrics, it's like, oh, it's all the best players in basketball, and Jokic is better than them. But then you realize it's not Jokic's fault, but what he is particularly good at, which is he doesn't take a lot of shots, So his field goal percentage off the charts, and he's an exceptional rebounder in addition to being a transcendent passer. That he's getting a boost from it, and he's going to win another one of these things. So I don't mind Embiid being frustrated. I'd be frustrated too. Even though my vote would be Giannis or Luka, I don't mind Embiid being
frustrated. All right, there's Nick Wright. Okay, so let's unpack that a little bit. Nick Wright talking about how the computer is the one that's telling you that Joker is the MVP, not anything else, that they're overvaluing rebounds, that they're undervaluing a lot of other stats. And, you know, there's players in the league that have better numbers as far as what a computer might say that, you know, the stats over replacement player or whatever some of those goofy things are. Listen, I get analytics and I appreciate analytics. But you're telling me that that the only reason Joker's the best player in the league is because a computer tells you so? You clearly don't watch Nuggets basketball. The Nuggets, how about this stat for you? It's not a stat, but if Joker's not on this team, Denver is awful. And I'm telling you, with Murray, without Murray, with Porter, without Porter, without the Joker, this team is busting their hump just to get into a play-in game. Maybe they're not even there. That's a look for you. You know, talking about all of these different, you know, computerized situations and why they go this way, they go that way. If you want to talk about just stats, I mean, well, Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic's stats are actually pretty close. So while you're knocking the Joker, you're also knocking Joel Embiid. The difference between the two is assists. And I suppose those are meaningless too, because those assists set his team up for success. He gets the assist to the assist. He gets the hockey assist. I mean, he gets those extra passes that make everyone around him better. I get so tired of this. You know, we're just searching for it. Guys like Nick Wright, they're just searching for reasons to basically say that this is why he's wrong. Because last year he said he shouldn't be MVP. Once he was the MVP, he said that he was the worst MVP that NBA's ever seen. Well, now he's going to be a repeat MVP. Not a lot of players can carry that around. So now he's saying, okay, well, fine, he's going to win it again. But that's because the computer's telling you. That is bogus. Absolutely erroneous crap. And listen, I bought right into it. And that's okay. He's entertaining. Nick Wright, a lot of people just rip him to shreds. For this take, yes, he's terrible with it. The guy knows what he knows what he's doing. He pisses people off. He's good at it. That's why he's in talk radio. You know, a lot of times you piss people off. A lot of times you piss people off so much you just kind of go into that. That becomes your whole shtick. There's great radio hosts and TV hosts that don't have that, but there's others that really utilize that. And he's one of those guys. And you know what? He caught us. Denver media, Denver fans can't stand the guy because of his Nikola Jokic take. And you know what? He loves it. He is doubling down. He's going to do every bit of research that he possibly can to prove why the Joker shouldn't be MVP. Or why, you know, the only reason he's the MVP is because robots are telling us so. Absolutely ridiculous, man. Just nuts. Watch the Joker play. He's crafty. He makes everybody better on the floor. Some people were complaining about some of his assists. He'll do their handoffs. Well, watch those handoffs. Watch what happens after the handoff. Joker manipulates the defense. He walks to his next spot, but while walking, what does he do? He kind of gets in front of a guy. It's not an illegal screen because he's not screening. You can run into players when you're running around. They do it all the time. He does the handoff, and then I'm just going to walk over this way. I'm just going to walk over this way. And he creates space. Joker is that smart, and it's not always sexy, but he's that smart with it where he can hand the ball off, and he knows how to get his guy open still. But don't think for a second he's not the best passer in the league. He has a lot of handoff assists, but some of his passes are Pete Maravich, pistol Pete Maravich stuff, man. And I'm telling you, for a 7-footer to do that, get out of here. the MVP, ladies and gentlemen, Nikola Jokic, 48 minutes after the hour. Got a short break coming up. We're going to wrap up on the other side. We'll get to what's on TV when we come back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Fifty-three minutes after the hour, welcome back. I got my way too early AFC playoff teams for 2022. And again, we got playoff. It's not my official prediction, Jades. Got to wait for the draft and everything. But I just want to get your brains going here. I got the Bills. I think the Bills are actually going to be the number one seed. Bills, Bengals, Broncos, Chiefs, Ravens, Colts, Browns. Yeah, so the Browns won 8 games last year. You don't think Deshaun Watson elevates to 10? I sure do. I mean, when you look at the playoff standings last year, just in the AFC, you had a 9-7 team and three 10-7 teams. I think Cleveland could be one of those. I do think that the Broncos get in. Now, the tough one for me was both the Chargers and the Titans. That's the thing, though. I think the Colts with Matt Ryan, yeah, they were a 9-8 team. They were one game away from going to the playoffs. You don't think Matt Ryan gets him there? Well, Brady, it's not all going to lay out just like that. I understand that, okay? But those are my picks so far. The two teams that made the playoff, four teams that made the playoffs last year won't be in. Tennessee, Las Vegas Raiders, New England Patriots, that was also a tough one for me, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, obviously. I like, well, the Ravens because they have the most electrifying man in the history of sports, Lamar Jackson. No, you guys, you're killing me with this. Lamar Jackson is the most entertaining player we've ever seen, ever in our time. So just get ready. They'll be a playoff team next year. The Broncos are going to be a playoff team because they're winning the AFC West. There you go. Chiefs will be in. Good for you. I don't like three AFC West teams. At first, I kind of did, but I do kind of think that you're going to see three AFC North teams in the Bengals, Browns, and Ravens. Go ahead. Tell me why I'm wrong. You can't. I was right last night. I said Kansas was going to be down in the first half and come back and win, and what happened? You're welcome yet again, Northern Colorado. And that's going to do it for us. Betting Across America up next. Will we have high school baseball? Who knows? Good night, Northern Colorado.